10th canto, chapter 38, text 6. Mamadhyamangalam nashtam palavangs chaiva me bhavaha yan namasye bhagavato yogi jayangri pankajam mamadhyā mangalam nāṣṭam halavāṁs caiva me bhavah yannamasye bhagavato yogi jhyāṅgri pankajam mamadhyā mangalam nāṣṭam palavanschaiva me bhavah yannamasye bhagavato yogi dhyayangri pankajam Amangalam.
Amangalam.
Inauspicious sinful reactions. Nashtam. Eradicated. Palavan. Fruitful. Cha. And. Eva. Indeed. Me. My. Bhavaha. Birth. Yat. Since. Namasye. I am going to offer obeisances. Bhagavata of the Supreme Lord. Yogi Dhyaya. Meditated upon by yogis. Angri. To the feet. Pankajam. Lotus-like. Translation. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. Please repeat. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated.
Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated.
And my birth has become worthwhile.
And my birth has become worthwhile.
Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord.
Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord.
To the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Which mystic yogis meditate upon. So there's no purport to this verse, so I'll read the next verse as well.
Kangsho Pathad Jakritamitu Anugraham Drakshe Angri Padmam Prabhito Munahare Kratavata Yasya Duratyasyam Tama Purvetaranyan Naka Mandala Vishaha.
Translation. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Akrura noted how ironic it was that the envious demonic Kamsa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending him to see the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unnitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Roti Vachalam Pangranglam Haite Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinum Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Sri Madratnagara Simhasanashto Sri Madradha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtalibi Sevyamano Smarami Sri Krishnam Radhikan Chaiva Lalitan Chavishakikam Shakibir Anvitam Nityam Pranamami Mohur Mohu. So, this verse is talking about the importance and value of offering obeisances to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said that if someone can simply offer their obeisances to Krishna, they are already 50% advanced. If you can just offer your obeisances to Krishna, you're already halfway back to Krishna. So the problem is that everybody is so puffed up. We read in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, if I'm not mistaken, about the various demonic qualities. And it starts off, Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi, I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer. It goes on. Many different demonic qualities, but the first quality mentioned is Ishvaroham. I am the Ishvara, I am the Lord, I am the controller. So everybody is thinking, I am the Lord, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and they make such elaborate arrangements for their own material power and their own material enjoyment. So this is actually the material disease, and this has to be given up. If one cannot give up this lording over quality, then one will have to remain in the material world indefinitely. As long as we are thinking that we are the controller, we are the enjoyer, we just have to stay here in the material world, because this is actually a diseased mentality. It's like somebody's in the hospital, cannot get out of the hospital if you're still sick. right, Prabhu? I have to stay there until you get cured, mostly. So this is our material disease, and we have to stay in this material world for as long as it takes till we can give up this lording it over mentality. So simply bowing down at the lotus feet of Krishna. And bowing down simply doesn't mean that one puts one's head on the floor or one does dandavats like this, but actually means, I mean, within the heart, feelingly bowing down to Krishna's lotus feet, and with great humility before Krishna, reciting the pranam prayers with the feeling that actually I am nothing. I'm worse. We find the acharyas, Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that jagai madhe hoiti miti papisht. He said that I am more sinful than jagai madhai. He actually says this, and he says anyone who chants my name will lose all of their pious activities. Kaviraj Goswami, in his great humility. Of course, we know that Jagai Madhai, before they got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were the biggest criminals, the very biggest criminals of that time. But later on, of course, they got purified. But Krishna Das Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, such a great devotee, in his humility, was saying, actually, I am worse than Jagai Madhai. I am worse. So when we offer our obeisances, we should very feelingly bow to Krishna's lotus feet and think in our heart, actually I am nothing, I am worthless. I have no hope, I have no qualification, and I'm simply falling at your lotus feet and begging for your mercy. So this is offering obeisances, not simply Haribol Prabhu like this. Sometimes we like this in the Hindus in India and so forth, in Malaysia also they go like this, but it's just kind of a formality like this, you know. But really, one offering obeisances to Krishna, offering obeisances to devotees also, this is a very important part of devotional service. We notice how we read that the six Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, every day he made a point of offering obeisances to the Lord and offering obeisances to Krishna, if I'm not mistaken, 1,000 times. He used to go and find some Vaishnavas and offer obeisances to those Vaishnavas, and he used to bow down to the Lord in the temple, go around the temples in Vrindavan. Many, many Vaishnavas, including Srila Prabhupada, did this. They go around to the temples as a regular daily function, and they simply bow down before the deities. Sometimes if they have a few coins, they put some small donation, but at least mainly they just go around and offer their obeisances, and they go on to the next temple and offer obeisances like this. They go around just offering obeisances to Krishna, and sometimes we see even there are devotees who do this dandavat parikram of Govardhan, or dandavat parikram of Vrindavan. Dandavat parikram of Vrindavan takes about a week to do. They do a dandavat, they put one stone, then they move on to that stone, then they do another dandavat, and so forth. So they just doing dandavats, they go around the whole of Vrindavan, which takes about a week, and some of them go around Govardhan like that, which takes a month. So offering obeisances is very important, because it purifies us. It mentions here that all amangala, all inauspicious qualities, all sinful reactions, all inauspicious qualities can be taken away by this simple process of offering obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet. So for this reason, Akrura, although he had been sent on an inauspicious errand, because Kamsa, as we mentioned 2 days before, Kamsa had his plan that he was going to bring Krishna and Balaram and put them up against the heavyweight wrestling champions of India at the time, Mustika Charanura, and he was thinking that they'll be beaten up and killed by these two wrestlers. So Kamsa had this inauspicious plan to kill Krishna, and he sent Akrura on this mission. So this was an inauspicious mission. But still, Akrura felt, as we just read in the second verse, this, how ironic it is that this evil person, Kamsa, has actually given me the blessing to come and see Krishna and offer my obeisances at his lotus feet today. And in this way, all of my previous sinful reactions will be washed away simply by offering my obeisances to Krishna. Also, it mentions that offering obeisances to Krishna, offering obeisances to Vaishnavas, to devotees, this is a very important part of devotional service. That's why every day we do this. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha. Don't think this is a ritual. Very important. Because inadvertently, sometimes deliberately, sometimes not deliberately, we all daily commit offences against other Vaishnavas. And this actually impedes us achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. Even great devotees, if they commit offences, their path to achieving Krishna prema is blocked. We know the story about how when Vishwarup took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya's brother, so Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Mata, she thought that Vishwarup had taken sannyas and gone off because Advaita Acharya had preached to him. Sometimes sannyasi or guru may come and preach, and sometimes people get very inspired, and for that reason they like to give up material life. They do not like to enter household life. They do not like to become involved in sansara or material activities. And so the parents become very, very much distressed. I remember when I became a devotee, my father actually took me to a psychiatrist and had me checked out. And the psychiatrist said, there's nothing wrong, perfectly normal. And then my father also went to the psychiatrist after that, because he just couldn't understand how this person, my son, how he's lost his interest in material life. So it's like this. So even Sachi Mata, now out of motherly affection for her son, she was naturally distressed, because the parents would like to see their children stay at home and get married and do the normal things that people do, then they can enjoy seeing the grandchildren and so forth. So when somebody drops out of the material world, people become very, very, very distressed. Of course, in Sachi Mata's case, it was a little bit transcendental, but anyway, she, in her mind, was thinking that my son has gone and off and taken sannyas because Advaita Acharya preached to him about spiritual life. So this was unconsciously an offence against Advaita Acharya. So then at one time, not so long after that, I don't remember exactly the incident, but there was a big kirtan, and Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy. Actually, he was unconscious in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya told his mother that you go and you offer obeisances at Advaita Acharya's lotus feet. Otherwise, your path to Krishna prema, to love of Krishna, is blocked. Told his mother like that. So she went and she humbly offered her obeisances at the feet of Advaita Acharya, so everything was cleared. So if you commit offences against Vaishnavas, by this process of vanchakalpatarubhyascha, by offering obeisances, begging forgiveness, then these sins can be, the offences can be taken off. So firstly, be careful not to offend Vaishnavas, and secondly, regularly do this offering obeisances, vanchakalpatarubhyascha, offer obeisances to devotees. And this will free us from Vaishnava aparad, which is a very big impediment in devotional service, very, very big impediment. Sometimes we wonder, we've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, we've been attending aarti, and we've been doing this and that, doing so much service, but somehow our Krishna consciousness is somehow not advancing as nicely as it should. So it means sometimes the problem is that we have knowingly or unknowingly offended some Vaishnavas, and this is blocking our advancement. So we should be very conscientious about this, and so that we can make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So offering obeisances to the lotus feet of Krishna, we find this process is described over and over again in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras. we find devotees offering prayers to Krishna, and this word Namaha comes over and over again. Namaha means offer my obeisances. Over and over again, it must be one of the most frequently used words in all of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Namaha, I offer my obeisances. All of the prayers which we sing, this word comes over and over and over again. Offer my obeisances. This is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. The basis of Krishna consciousness is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, and that we are very, very, very insignificant servants of Krishna, or rather servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. This is our position. So it's very difficult to get rid of this lording over mentality. Very, very difficult to get rid of that. Even the demigods to some extent also have this mentality. They're devotees, no doubt, but they still would like to have some position. They would still like to have some controlling facilities. So for that reason they get the position of demigods. But to go back to Krishna, one has to become what is known as pure unalloyed devotee. Means not just pure devotee, but pure unalloyed devotees. Means not mixed with anything. Not mixed with karma, not mixed with jnana, not mixed with any, even the slightest tinge of this lording over mentality. This has to get purified. So this process of bowing down, offering obeisances to Krishna, this is very, very useful and very, very effective to get freed from this lording over mentality. So here in this verse it mentions yoga jayangri pankajam, that the yogis meditate upon the lotus feet of Krishna. So the yogis, by practicing this Ashtanga yoga system, they purify themselves by different processes, this yama, niyama, and asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and so forth. And they reach the stage of where they can control their mind. So what do they meditate upon? Do they meditate upon some light, or do they meditate on some void or something like this? No, they meditate, the real yogis, the genuine yogis, they meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So this is the real object of meditation. And similarly, devotees, when they go before the deities, firstly, one should meditate upon the lotus feet of the deities. I mean, when you see the deities, when you have darshan, not immediately looking at Krishna's face, but firstly one should see the lotus feet of Krishna, then gradually see his knees, his waist, his chest, finally his lotus face, like this. This is the proper method, which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Proper method of having darshan of the Lord is firstly to meditate upon the Lord's lotus feet. So we should practice this meditation on the forms of the deities, not just haribol and bow down and go out, but actually one should constantly meditate upon the lotus feet of one's worshipful deities. So here we have Sri Sri Radha Balava, very, very merciful, very beautiful deities of Krishna, who were personally installed by Srila Prabhupada in St. Kilda of all places. And later on they came here to Dank Street. And Jagannath, of course, these deities were made by the Australian devotees in 1972. And they were on the Rath Yatra chariot in 1972. At that time I wasn't a devotee, but after I attended that Rath Yatra festival, I think that was the beginning of the end of my material life. Jagannath, very, very kind. They had this Rath Yatra festival in the middle of the city, and they just, it was a very short parade. They just went down Bourke Street to the city square, and then they turned along Swanson Street, and then they went along to Lonsdale Street, and then they went up Lonsdale Street. There was this some church hall there which they got, and they had Lord Jagannath inside, and they had a festival. They had kirtan and some lecture which was given by a devotee called Upendra, and they had also a drama. They did a drama which was very nice, and they had prasadam. And anyway, this is the story of Lord Jagannath. And since that time, later, the year after that, they had Rathiyatra festival in Melbourne on a big, very grand scale with three chariots. And they went starting off up there in Carlton, and they came all the way down through the city, right through the city, and they went to the Maya Music Bowl. And Lord Jagannath was up on the stage in the Maya Music Bowl, and they had one famous musician called Lobby Lloyd, who Mataji knows, and he played up on the stage, and they had this huge kirtan with Lobby Lloyd playing his guitar, and they had mridangas, and one devotee called Yasumati Nandan got this idea of having these bass drums. So they had mridangas plus bass drums. There must have been maybe more than 100 devotees up on the stage, and Lobby Lloyd with his guitar and his whole band, and it was just like a huge maha kirtan in the Maya Music Bowl. They went right across Prince's Bridge and into the botanical gardens there and onto the Maya Music Bowl. That was maybe the biggest Rathiyatra festival. The next year they went through the city and they went to the exhibition buildings. And that time Prabhupada was personally present. And they had, they put a Vyasasan on the front of one of the chariots, and Prabhupada sat on that Vyasasan and gave a lecture. We had this huge kirtan inside the Maya Music Bowl, in the exhibition buildings. So those were the glorious days of the Rathiyatra festivals in Melbourne. And I also had the chance to work on those chariots. I mean, Harisori Prabhu and myself and a few others, we put together these chariots. That's a long story, but anyway, the deities of Melbourne, Gaur-Nitai, of course, were later on installed by Srila Prabhupada himself also, and that was when this temple used to be a Catholic school. And we renovated that, and that was the end of 1974, beginning of 1973. I also worked on that, and many devotees also got hurt during that construction, including myself. I think my blood from my head is still under the floor there somewhere. That's another long story, but a lot of blood, sweat and tears were put into fixing up this building and making it into a temple. It was opened, and Srila Prabhupada was very, very happy, and he called this Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, and he was very, very happy to see so many Australian boys and girls serving Krishna, and he thought it was really wonderful. And he was sitting up there in his room and receiving guests, and it was very nice. But anyway, coming back to this point, that deities here are all very, very special and very merciful, we should practice gazing with great devotion upon the beautiful forms of the deities, because by doing this we will lose our attraction for the material world, actually, especially lusty desires. People are always gazing at bodies of men and women, and lusty desires are coming. So the cure for this disease is to simply gaze upon the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Krishna especially, and just constantly meditate upon the beautiful forms of the Lord, especially when you chant the Maha Mantra and look at the deities. Gradually, you can remember Krishna's lotus feet within your heart. It will come naturally when you chant the Maha Mantra. Then immediately Krishna will come in into your mind, into your heart, and this is actually the goal. We know this song, Mama Mana Mandire, the temple of the mind. So we should not simply build a temple physically, put up some bricks. I mean, that's of course, very nice and very wonderful, but we should also build a temple inside our own heart. So chanting Krishna's name and remembering the beautiful forms of our worshipful deities. So I was here many, many years ago. I was also a pujari for a long time. I used to do, just as for information for the Prabhus and the Matajis, who like to do a little bit of deity service, I used to do all the offerings and all the aartis every day. I remember once, 6 months I didn't go outside the door of the temple. I just did offerings and aartis every day, all the offerings and all the aartis for 6 months. So, you know, if you get an offering or an aarti to do sometimes we grumble, ah, I have to do that again, my name's up on the board again, like this. But if you want to, deity worship, you have to become absorbed. You have to become absorbed. And then it becomes very blissful. I remember, especially in those days, it was always very difficult for the temple president to get somebody to do the 7 o'clock offering on Sunday and do the aarti. Because if you did that, it meant you missed the Sunday feast. So if you had to do that 7 o'clock offering and do the aarti, you missed prasadam. So it was always very hard to get somebody to do that, but I used to do it every week, deliberately. So I'd be inside there doing the aarti and I could hear the plates being brought out and people eating and laughing and everything, taking prasadam. Of course, by the time I'd finished doing that and cleaning up, there was nothing left. But I felt so blissful doing that because I was remembering this verse, Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. To engage one's senses in the service of the master of the senses. So if you try to do something to please Krishna, then naturally you become more pleased. If we try to do something for our own satisfaction, we may feel some pleasure, but that is not as great as the pleasure you feel by doing something for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So this is another point. And the seva puja of the deities, actually, as I mentioned the other day, this is actually duplicating the seva puja which goes on to Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. You practice doing this in the material world as a sadaka, as a new devotee. You practice doing this upon the order of the Guru, and then when you become so much absorbed and so much fixed in that service, then there's no longer a necessity for having a material body anymore in this material world. You don't need a material body because a material body is actually an impediment. You have to take bath all the time, you have to go to the toilet, you have to eat, and sometimes you have to go to the doctor and this and that. So many diseases are coming. So by perfecting one's service to Krishna, one can enter into the spiritual world, and you don't need a material body anymore. So anyway, this is why the great acharyas have established temples, so that people could direct their devotion to the deities. And Krishna appears in all of these different temples in the world. Each one of the deities has got their own story, how Radha Ballabha came to St. Kilda. I remember, I'll just tell you how the arrival of Radha Ballabha in St. Kilda. This is a very interesting story. Maybe nobody knows this. Even Aniruddha doesn't know this story. But Srila Prabhupada was coming, and we were supposed to all go and meet him at the airport. So they had this double-decker bus. So all the brahmacharis were freshly shaven with new dhotis and kurtas. Mm-hmm. All the matajis had new saris. Everyone was, it's kind of going to be a real big... Prabhupada was coming to Melbourne. So the bus was parked out the back of the temple. There was a lane at the back of the temple, and the bus was parked there. And all the brahmacharis and all the matajis were out in the bus about to leave for the airport. So for some unknown reason, I thought to go out the front of the temple. Just something occurred to me. So I went out the front of the temple, and this taxi pulled up in front of the temple. And it was Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada. The flight had come early. So Prabhupada had arrived at the airport. There was no one to greet him, and it was Prabhupada. So I just did dandavats. I didn't know what to think. I just did dandavats. I fell at Prabhupada's feet. I touched his feet. I fell at Prabhupada's feet in the street in St. Kilda. And then there was Prabhupada, and there was, Satsvarup and Bali Madan. So they got out of the taxi, and they were carrying Radha Balava. It's like this, you know. So they brought the deities in. So this was a wonderful pastime. So Prabhupada went inside. You know, I ran out the back. I told the devotees, Prabhupada's here. And so they all got out of the bus and they came inside, and there was a big kirtan, and Prabhupada said a few words, and then he went upstairs, and then after a little while, Prabhupada's servant came down and came up to me and said, Prabhupada wants to see you. So I'm thinking, oh my, what have I done? I think, what great offense have I committed? Because I was just a new bhakta. I think I'd been in the temple about a little bit less than 3 months. And what is this? So I went upstairs, and then Prabhupada, there was something wrong with Prabhupada's dictaphone, something wrong with the plug. So they knew I knew a little bit about electrical work, so they asked me to fix the plug on Prabhupada's dictaphone. So I did that. And anyway, that was a wonderful time, and St. Kilda. Radha Balava very mercifully came to Melbourne, and they were installed here in this temple in 1975, and since that time they've been giving their mercy to all the devotees in Melbourne. That's more than 30 years now, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry I couldn't make it for the 30th anniversary, but someone was telling me yesterday they're going to have a 35th anniversary, so I might come down for that if I'm still around. And similarly, Indonesia also, there are many beautiful deities who have appeared in Indonesia. Radha Govinda, our deities in the mountains outside Jakarta, we have a beautiful temple. Radha Govinda, and also Lalita Vishaka, Gornitai, and Sri Prahlad Lakshmi Sringadev. So these are my personal worshipful deities. I think of them all the time, and also chant some pranam mantras to them whenever I have to do anything, like giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class. But the way they came is also a wonderful story. That time, this was in 1983, we were living in a rented house in Jakarta, and we didn't have any deities because Indonesia is a Muslim country, and the Muslims, although they appreciate the other things we do, like chanting with beads, and also they appreciate the four regulative principles also. And even Bhagavad Gita can be appreciated by them, but one thing which they cannot understand is deity worship. It's very difficult for them to understand this. And so we didn't have any deities, and we were just, you know, we were printing books and distributing books, and like this, some Indonesian devotees had come by that time. So in Indonesia there are a number of quite a lot of Indian industrialists who have factories, especially textiles. So there's one big factory in a city called Surabaya, Surabaya is probably bigger than Melbourne, very big city. And the Indian Birla group, the Birlas, have this factory. So somebody got this idea that they wanted to make a Radha Krishna temple inside the factory compound because so many Indians were there. So they brought these beautiful marble Radha Govinda deities from Jaipur. And Krishna's 77 centimeters. Is that taller than Radha? Maybe a little bit taller than Radha Balava. 77 centimeters. Radharani is 70 centimeters. Maybe around the same size or a little bigger. Anyway, they brought the deities, and at that time there was a customs regulation that no deities are allowed to be brought into Indonesia. So the customs opened up the box and the deities were there, and the Muslim custom officials said, oh, look, I'm very sorry, you can't bring these things into Indonesia. So the Indian man was negotiating with them and said, look, why don't you take a photograph and show it to the head customs officer and see what he says. So they took a picture of the deities, Radha Govinda and got it developed, and then the Indian man went to see the head customs officer with his photograph. And so when they opened up the photograph was completely white. It was like there'd been some kind of light or something. So the Indian man spoke to the customs officer, who is a Muslim, and said that these are not statues. This is God himself. So the person was being a bit superstitious and he was afraid. So he signed the documents and stamped it and said, please take these away. He was afraid that something would happen. So the deities were taken out and they were taken to this factory. So at that time there was a change of management in the factory. New directors. The new directors weren't so much inclined to make a temple in the factory. So they put the deities in the executive lunchroom. So people in there are eating and drinking and smoking and talking nonsense and everything, and the deities were up there on the shelf in the executive lunchroom. So we had a couple of Indian life members who were working in the factory, Mr. Kumar and Mr. Prashad, I remember their names. So they were thinking, this is not nice. Radha and Krishna are there, people are eating and smoking and talking business and everything. This is not nice. So they called us up on the telephone from Surabaya. We have these Radha Krishna deities here. We don't know how to worship them. So you please come and take them. So I told them, at that time there was one Australian devotee called Pralambari, so I said, okay, Prabhu, get in the van and drive down to Surabaya and bring the deities. So he went down and he packed them all up in cotton wool, in big boxes, and he brought them to Jakarta, and they reached Jakarta on Janmashtami day in 1983. So I called up Harisori Prabhu, who at that time was the GBC, and I said, Prabhu, we have Radha and Krishna deities have come. So he just told me, well, you better put them on the altar and start worshipping them. So we put them on the altar. We had no clothes for them. We had nothing. So we just put them on the altar and we started worshipping him. That was Krishna Janmashtami, 1983. Mataji Harishwari will remember that because she was there when they came. So she was also here in Melbourne for some time. She was a new devotee those days. So anyway, Radha Govinda came and gradually we started doing the puja and it increased the standard of worship. And later on we moved to a big building, then that was a problem, then we moved to another small house, and then 1988 we moved the deities to the... We got some land and we made that temple in the mountains. I think, Prabhu, you visited, yeah? Punjab, yeah. Like 81 kilometres from the city into the mountains. And since that time Radha Govinda have been there, and Lalita Vishakha also came later on, and Gornitai also, we Gornitai were made by the Indonesian devotees I think it was around 1984, 1985. They were actually carved by one Indonesian devotee and installed. And later on, Prahlad Lakshman Sringadev, big, about 120 centimetres, 200 kilograms, black stone. Lord Nrisingadev is also there, Prahlad Lakshman Sringadev. So since that time, the deities have been giving their mercy to the devotees of Indonesia. And there are other deities also. We have Sri Sri Radha Madan Gopal Lalita Vishakha in Gita Nagari Baru Farm, and we have Sri Sri Radha Madhava Lalita Vishakha in Gyanyar, and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram in Denpasar, and then there is also Sri Sri Gornitai, and then in Bahar, then there's another Sri Sri Radha Rasheshwara in Bali. So many deities are there, and the devotees are worshipping them very nicely, and all the devotees are all Indonesian. I mean, practically no imported devotees. Even I've also become Indonesian, so it's all local devotees, and they like to do the puja. I mean, Indonesian people, they're very devoted, especially the ones from Bali. They like to do this puja. So it's going on. Anyway, coming back to the topic of discussion regarding meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, this is a very important part of devotional service. Instead of thinking about other things, we should rather try to think about Krishna more. This is smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So hearing and chanting, from this comes remembering. Remembering especially Krishna's lotus feet. And also the, of course we know, Padasevanam, serving the Lord's lotus feet, and Archanam, doing the deity worship. These are also important parts of devotional service. Of course, not that we should simply sit in the temple all of our life and simply do. We also have to preach it, because so many people are suffering. People out there, they think they have a very nice life. And I think, I suppose you can say, compared to the life of people in Indonesia and other places, things are very opulent here. But at the same time, without Krishna consciousness, they're wasting their life. Even though they have such a opulence, but they're wasting their life. Yeah, they're simply wasting their life, and because of doing so many things, their future and their next lifetime is not very good. So we have to create auspiciousness for everybody by trying to introduce them to Krishna consciousness somehow. If they don't like the philosophy, then you give them prasadam. Prasadam is very effective. Most of the devotees in Australia, I think, I can say this with confidence, were made because of prasadam. The other day I met one god brother, I don't know if you remember, Ajamil. You remember Ajamil? Probably not. He was here when I first joined the temple. He was leading the Harinam party. And he was, before he was a devotee, you know what he was doing? Boxing. So now he became a devotee, he went to England and India. Now he's doing this Vastu and astrology. Very nice devotee, but he came to Jakarta, so I met him and we gave a Bhagavad Gita class together. And you know, we were talking about prasadam, because the verse we spoke on was this Yagyashishtashi Nashanto Muchandishvarisha. We were talking about laws of prasadam, and Arjamil and I both admitted that we were victims of prasadam. We got hooked on Krishna consciousness because of taking prasadam. And Arjamil also said, yes, it's a fact. So this prasadam is very, very effective and attracting people to Krishna consciousness. I remember in Japan meeting people on the street from Australia. I was doing Sankirtan in the streets in Tokyo, and you meet somebody from Australia. And he said, oh, you're from the Hare Krishnas, aren't you? I said, yes. You guys have the best food in Australia, he said. He said, could I give you a donation? I said, sure. So he gave me like something like 10,000 yen, it's $100. Just because he liked prasadam. Just an ordinary person. So a lot of Australians have got this, they remember the nice prasadam, so they have this impression about Krishna consciousness, which is very good. So anyway, once again, I encourage all of you to take every opportunity to gaze upon the beautiful forms of Radha and Radha Balabha and the Gornitai, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, especially to see their lotus feet. And these lotus feet are simply by meditating on the toenails of the lotus feet of Krishna. Yogis, they are freed from material existence and achieve liberation, as mentioned. We can see the yogis have to practice so many years in order to get a glimpse of the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that he's appearing before us every day. We simply come and there Krishna's lotus feet are there. We have darshan every day. It's not so easy to get Krishna's darshan, but Krishna has kindly appeared in Melbourne so that people can easily get the darshan of Krishna. So instead of watching the television, instead of watching this and that, just watch Krishna's lotus feet. And then we'll also, as mentioned here, we'll get, our material existence will be overcome and we will achieve liberation by going back home, back to Godhead. Anyway, just the second verse mentions, as we before, Akrura thought this was very ironic, that comes me to do something bad, but actually he blessed me because I'm getting the chance to see Krishna's lotus feet. So sometimes it happens that somebody is sent to do something inauspicious to Krishna or to his devotees, but in the end it turns around, it becomes auspicious. I just before I was remembering that those days the Australian police were very suspicious of religious cults. There were a number of cults around at that time, spiritual groups, various different philosophies. So the police thought that they better find out what's going on. So they sent one of their police officers to join the temple. So this person actually joined the temple. You see, he was deputed by the police to spy on the home, find out whether they were doing any terrorist activities or any funny things. So he stayed in the temple and he ended up becoming a devotee. He got initiated by Prabhupada. Yeah, he got initiated by Prabhupada, and then after a couple of years he disappeared. And later on he told us actually that, I mean, he told the devotees, I was deputed by the police to look at ISKCON, and I mean, he said ISKCON has a clean bill of health. He could understand that Krishna consciousness was, ISKCON was actually a pure mission, and that there were no hidden political or terrorist agendas. Not the others didn't so well. They were actually doing funny things. Anyway, this is an example. So this person was deputed to actually spy on the devotees, but he ended up becoming a devotee himself. Maybe he's still around up there somewhere in Sydney. But there are many examples. Sometimes people come into the temple for the most strange reasons, but they end up getting attracted to Krishna. You know, Sanghanath Prabhu comes around every day. He came to the temple the first time to use the toilet. He was just outside and he needed to use the toilet, so he said, he knocked on the door and he said, "Can I use the toilet?" So he came in and used the toilet, and then he said, "What is this anyway?" And then he became a devotee. He also worked on something awesome to do. So he worked on this temple with us and up the ladder, and this is a long story, but people somehow or another, Prabhupada used to say, somehow or another, somebody gets the good fortune to come to Krishna, and Krishna is so attractive. It's like Dhruva Maharaj said, "I was looking for people for pieces of broken glass, but now I have seen you, I have found the most valuable diamond." So somehow or other people get attracted to Krishna. It's like what you call causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. All right, Prabhu and Mataji, now it's already 8:30. I think I've spoken for already half an hour or more. I think that's enough. Any questions or comments about this verse? Very happy to see Adi Purush again. We are old friends from Tilokintan. That time Prabhu was having his medical practice in Tilokintan. He was a very famous person and prominent personality in Tilokintan, and I came to see him. Some other devotees were also there, and he got interested in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, did you have much difficulty in convincing the custom authorities later on about the other deities in Indonesia?
No, we didn't. Because by that time things have become a bit more liberal. A lot of the deities were brought into Indonesia by my wife. I also brought a few sets of deities into Indonesia. I brought I carried them myself from Delhi to Calcutta, from Calcutta to Bangkok, and then from Bangkok I took the train from Bangkok to Malaysia, and then I carried them from Malaysia to Singapore, then I carried them from Singapore to Jakarta, then down to Bali, and they were installed like this. So Krishna has Krishna's desire. He wants to come. Don't think that Krishna is a statue. The deities are appearing simply because of their own sweet will. Radha Gopinath in Sydney, very famous story, how they came to Australia. I think all of you know the story. It's been told so many times. So get a chance to serve the deities. This is called Seva Adhikara, to get the right to serve Krishna. You know, every day we're singing Seva Adhikara Diye Koru Nija Dasi. please give me the chance to serve Krishna. So if you get a chance to do some service for the deities, consider yourself greatly fortunate. This is seva adhikara. Yeah. We have the system in our farm, Gitanagari Baru farm in Sumatra. We have 30 families living in the farm, and all of them are initiated. So each family has to do the puja one day a month. And we have a small board here, we put it up, that today the Sakyadi is Sri Kashyapu and his wife Narayani. And we announced this at Manga Aarti, that today is such and such day, it's Dwadasi or whatever it is, and the Nakshatra is such and such, and the Seva Adhikari today is Prabhu Keshava and Mataji Narayani, Haribol. It's written up on the board there. So the devotees, they do deity service one day in a month. It rotates. So there's 30 families, so we have 30 sets of pujaris. So the Prabhu cooks and does all the aartis, and the Mataji cooks all the offerings for that day. So one day in a month is not difficult. So they look forward to it. They really look forward to it. So that's their day when they do the puja. That's a different system. That's what they do in the temples in Vrindavan, the Goswami temples, because they have so many Brahmanas, so they have to rotate it like that. They have to make a roster that they want so much to get the chance to serve the deities like this. Seva adhikara die koro nija dasi. Another question, Mataji?
Sometimes we get familiar with Prabhupada's book and we read so many things, but we don't really take them word for word. For example, like meditating on the lotus feet. How can we better understand that actually Prabhupada gives us like real instructions and not just words to read on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really funny, man. Well, we should read Prabhupada's books over and over again, not just read them once. And if you read them over and over again, then you'll begin to enter into the proper understanding. And also, as it mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Pravido Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Kata. This verse is there, that to hear Krishna about Krishna in the association of devotees, this is very sweet to the ears and the heart. So hearing properly in the association of devotees, this is more effective than simply reading yourself. Of course, reading ourself is also very good, but hearing the morning class in Bhagavatam and the evening class in Bhagavad Gita is important. And when Prabhupada first wrote up those set of instructions, have you seen that? Prabhupada, when the New York temple, in the beginning there were no instructions. Then Prabhupada decided that he had to increase the standard. So he put this handwritten instructions up on the wall in the temple. So the first instruction was, all initiated devotees must attend morning and evening classes. So even before writing the four regulative principles, Prabhupada put that at the top of the list. So it's an important thing to come and hear submissively. And this way, if one has some question, one can ask the question, one can get the proper understanding. But yeah, that's a very good point, Mataji. And I would take Srila Prabhupada's instructions to heart and put them into practice, we would probably be much more advanced in spiritual life than we are at the moment. Yeah, so that's very good. If you're desiring to really understand and follow Prabhupada's instructions, that's very good. Yeah. And Prabhupada also said, don't try to read too many books. Sometimes devotees get into there's so many esoteric Vaishnava literatures and they start getting into reading all of these things. Actually, four books are the main books. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. This is the essence of all of the Vedic Shastras. So just those four books, better to have a good understanding of a few books than a poor understanding of many books. I'm trying to read these things, but these four books we should understand it nicely. In Indonesia, I made this Bhagavad Gita crash course. You know, when the students are falling behind in their marks, they have to go for a crash course. So I made Bhagavad Gita crash course, and we have this with questions and everything, so that there are questions to answer. Sometimes we listen to the class and after we forget what it is, but if we have to answer some questions, then we have to train ourselves to listen so we can answer the question. So we did that system, and it seemed to be quite effective to make the devotees have a better understanding. I also understand that Prabhu Aniruddha and Prabhu Kesha have been running this Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhava. This is very good, and Srila Prabhupada wanted that, that the devotees understand precisely. He said, I wrote my books for the devotees to read them. Yeah, and even in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was asked by some Indian devotees, Indian probably Gaudiya Math devotees, and Prabhupada said, My disciples are very nice, but I have one complaint, that they don't read my books. Prabhupada said like that. But try to read the books every day. Read even one verse, you read it 100 times. Every time you read it, you'll get something new. This is the special quality of Prabhupada's books, the special quality of books like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. You can't like read it once and say, oh, finished, I've understood everything. No. Because this is Krishna in the form of a book. So every time you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll get some realization, some new understanding. So anyway, Mataji, just to make a long story short, you should read the books over and over again. Yeah. Sometimes also it's nice to memorize some of the verses, the slokas, and also the word for word, then you can enter more into the deep understanding of this. Yeah, I remember when I was a brahmacharya, I used to learn a sloka every day. Every day, for a long time. It's good. I mean, after you get into the habit, you just read the first line over and over again. Remember that even you can imagine the letters of the sloka over and over again. And the second line, recite it over and over again. The third line, the fourth line. Then you can, if you have some slokas in your mind, it's very, very, very good. And it also increases the memory as well. If you learn Sanskrit slokas, it makes your memory become better. It's a side benefit. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any more questions? Sorry? Meaning? Oh, Radha Balaba.
Yeah.
I think Jaipur. Mostly the marble murtis in India are made in Jaipur. The metal murtis are mostly made some of them are made in Navadvipa and some of them are made in Vrindavan. But the marble murtis like Radha Balaba, I think it's from Jaipur. And the altars are made definitely. They have this in Jaipur. They have this expertise of working with marble. They get the marble. The marble is also from Jaipur. They make the deities. Yeah. Yes, he brought him. You remember? Okay. Any more questions? Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.